Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's
the Terrible. All rise for the King, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Big problems require big solutions. I got a tough subject to start with today because it's one that's really close to my heart, and I just kind of, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to talk about because I actually really do care about people, and I'm thinking about the folks around the world that aren't in you know, the best of conditions, actually, in some cases, in really terrible conditions. And I think about how truly blessed we are as humans here on this world that we live in, how many gifts, how many wonderful things we've been given. I constantly run all these things through my mind, trying to figure out ways to, you know, try to help to make the world a better place. Here in the United States, we're probably a lot better off than a lot of other people. And sometimes, even myself, I find myself complaining about things in this life that, you know, pretty much insignificant. Because sometimes, unfortunately, out of sight, out of mind, it's, you know, if you don't see it, you know things are wrong in the world. If you don't see it, you can pretty much go through life and, you know, basically get by. Mentally or emotionally or whatever. You know, it's just when you actually dig down deep into the state of the world that we live in, it's really disheartening sometimes. There's all kinds of things going on, but here in the United States, we're doing pretty well. But not all of us here in the United States are doing well. There are families that live in poverty here in the great US of A. There's families that struggle to survive, even working families. They got two parents working really hard, trying to, you know, take care of daycare and school and medicines and all that kind of stuff. And even they fall on hard times where, you know, even they need help. And so, with that said, you know, it's not all tiptoeing through the tulips, so to speak, here in the United States for a lot of people. A lot of people around the world don't even have a fraction of the luxuries that we have. So as Americans, even the poorest Americans out there, I feel like that they really appreciate what they do have. Now I'm sure there's probably some of those out there that don't feel that way. I mean, there are those out there that may feel entitled. But when it comes down to today's subject, as far as I'm concerned, it is an entitlement. It is something that every single living soul not only has to have, but should have. Should have access to. And that's food. You know, the body can't withstand very long without food. But at a certain point, it's worse than that. Because the damage due to starvation, it's sometimes irreversible. And there's a lot of things, this has been kind of a learning process for me because, you know, I'm thinking, we should be able to get these people food. And there are people around the world who are actually seriously trying to do just that. Here in the United States, we waste more food than you can possibly imagine. It's mind-blowing how much food never makes it to the store. It's mind-blowing how much food that actually does make it to the store ends up in a dumpster. And it's mind-blowing how much food from restaurants ends up in a dumpster. It's saddening. And, you know, you think about that poor child over there in another country that, you know, when we're, you know, shoveling the last of our scraps off into the trash can, and they would give anything to have what we just threw away. And I know, folks, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad for being blessed. I don't want you to feel bad for having your needs met and food. That's not what today's show's about. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to play on your sympathies and make you miserable because you're not the one responsible for what's going on in this world as a whole. But it is a subject that really seriously needs to be addressed. It's a hard subject because, you know, I came from a poor family. I know what it's like to be hungry. Now, thankfully, I don't know what it's like to feel starvation. You know, we always had something. Even if it was tiny, it was something. You know, maybe we had a couple rough goes where it might have been a couple days before we could get that little something. But trust me, you know, as a child, I knew what it was like. And it wasn't due to my mom not, you know, trying to be a hard worker or not wanting to take care of us. It was just circumstances. It was, my father, he didn't really take care of his family like he should. So there's a whole lot more. It's not always the fact that somebody is irresponsible. Sometimes just circumstances just get to people. Sometimes things unforeseen circumstances. So, this isn't about, you know, trying to blame anyone for other people's problems in the world. It's trying to figure out a way to solve it. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of good ideas that are actually working towards salvaging food before it actually makes it to the dumpster. There's a lot of people out there that are out there distributing. There's a lot of people volunteering to go around and help these people distributing. I think it's something that probably should be more of a mainstream idea. There's a lot of people don't know. A lot of businesses don't know that there are actually tax breaks for, you know, giving food to these agencies. And so, you know, there are solutions available. We're here in the year 2020. I'm praying and hoping that this is going to be the year. This is going to be a better year. It's going to be the year that we, as the world, decide to come together. I'm hoping for that. I'm praying for that. You know, it's gone too long. When you think about the numbers, you actually look down and you look at the numbers of all the people that are suffering worldwide. And you try to get down to the root cause of it. It's not because we don't have enough food. We've got more than enough food to feed the world. That's not the problem. The problem, you know, it stems a lot deeper than that, into policies. It stems into greed. It stems into, you know, governments and systems that just are not putting the people first. We the people, we have a tendency to put the people first. In real times of need, We go out and we do food drives and long walks to raise money for charities and all kinds of stuff. We do what we can. But somehow or another, we got to find a way to motivate those that actually have the voice out there, the huge platforms and the stages, like the President of the United States or senators or congressmen and women, and bring ideas to the table constantly bringing ideas to the table, things that we can get done. We have amazing technology right now, and some people out there are utilizing that technology to actually get things done, to track food and make sure that if a store calls up and says, hey, you know, we got to get rid of this food because we have to make room for the new, and this is going to be expired soon, so they're working together. There are people out there actually doing it, so it's not all bad news. And some of these other nations, there are wars going on that interrupt the delivery of these food products to people. There's there's you know, as much as I'm not a fan of the United Nations, they there are programs where they're dropping food to people. So it's not about that we don't have the food. It's sometimes getting it there is the hard part. So, you know, any and all ideas would be welcome to, you know, put down a list or a plan or something together. Because if you count the numbers and you look at the ages of some of these children going through a literal hell on earth, they don't deserve to have to suffer that way. Every single life on this world that we live in is so precious. It's so valuable. I wish there was a way we could figure out how to stop these wars. Because wars put people in a position to where they have to be refugees, and human nature, when you're hungry for a long period of time, you're not too happy with people. And you might do things that you otherwise wouldn't do. And even in your own home, I want you to be prepared for any emergency that comes up to have a little extra something there. Because you never know when the system could break down. Now I wish I could just wave a magic wand. By God, I wished I could. I would have fixed it. I just don't know how. So, it's a tough talk. But, like I said, there are people out there who are making the right step forward. They just need our help. Whether it be us sharing technology, sharing ideas, making some phone calls for them, or getting out there and those of us who can, help them move some stuff around. Our world is in trouble. And it seems for some people it's a whole lot worse than what you might think. The Knights of the Round Table, it's to me, it's a good thing. It gives the opportunity for us all to come together on this platform. The People for People Radio. Come together and troubleshoot and put ideas on the table. Write them down. Share a list. Send a list. Any idea that you can possibly think about. There ain't no such thing as a stupid idea when it comes down to trying to figure out a way to save our brothers and sisters. I'm going to need some help. I hope you ladies are here. Got some other people here with me. As soon as they get back there.
Well, I'm here. Hey, everybody.
How you can doing, you Barbara?
Me? I'm doing okay. Hey, everybody out there. This is Barbara Three Crow showing up here on Chaziz's Friday Nights. That's where I am right here now. It's good to see everybody out there. I hear your, I always hear this loving passion in your voice, my friend, and I get it, you know. I'm there with you, and we're talking about this issue. I'm looking at this information. 870 million people of the entire third world population have no food to eat, or a very precarious food supply, pretty much. It seems to be, I know they look at the third world populations as seems to be where mostly this is know, third world countries like Africa and so on. But there's hunger everywhere, you know. Probably even in your own hometown, somebody doesn't have enough food or, you know, but, yeah, this is a big problem, Shaz, and everybody out there, among many other problems that we're dealing with. And it's sort of like if we wait for the authorities or those in charge, which they're not doing very well, if we wait for them, well, I don't know. I just think we've been waiting a long time, it seems, and things seem to be tipping out more and more and more out of balance.
Yeah, their track record stinks.
What?
I say their track record stinks.
Yeah, their track record stinks, and when is everybody going to realize that? I guess we just keep, somehow we just keep going around in the same circle, doing the same thing over and over again, trusting those that put themselves in position of authority for us what they say they will do, while we just, you know, sit back and say, okay, they're going to take care of it. They told us that, and then we go around again, and we do the same thing. We repeat ourselves continuously, and we don't seem to get it. Their track record sucks, for sure.
Yeah, it's not just giving these people food. It's stopping these stupid conflicts all over the doggone place. You know, it's actually finding the root of the problem. There are farmers out there, you know, places like Africa that, you know, they can't afford the fertilizers or they can't afford the equipment, you know, and so it's a beautiful country over there. I don't know how many of y'all have seen pictures, but Africa's a beautiful country, and they have resources.
Well, it's also very wealthy in many ways, and I'm not talking about, minerals and various other things Africa has beneath its earth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about that kind of thing. But yes, it's a beautiful country. The whole Mother Earth is a beautiful country. Beautiful people everywhere. All being run by the system of do no good authorities. So it just keeps coming back to that as far as I see. The continuing pattern of waiting for somebody else to take up, you know, the problem and take care of it and do what should be done, what should be rightfully done, do the right thing, do the good thing. It's a pattern that people have gotten themselves into. The people over there in Africa and various other countries, third world countries where there's a lot of problems with water, problems with drought, you know, problems with the food sources. It's really, like you say, we're in trouble. You know, there's a lot of troubles going on. I think this pattern of waiting for others to take up the baton and go forward and do something. To me, I have to just repeat what I said, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. I realized, looking at all these problems that we're talking about, you know, we all want to see something good happen. We all want to see the change. We all want something better for not only our people, but others, too. We all deserve that. This is a paradise here, and it's messed up, or we're messing it up. We're all participating, but to me, it's sort of like we can complain until, you know, in the face, and I think we're good at complaining and blaming and stuff like that. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying that's our habit.
Yeah.
We're talking, we're complaining, we're not happy, we're frustrated, we're upset, and we're angry.
Barbara, could you come a little closer to your mic?
Oh, yeah, sure. So how's that? Is that better? Maybe I turn myself down a bit. I'm just saying, I'm looking at this from a perspective of this is a problem. There are many problems. We've all identified them over these years, and I mentioned, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I said you have to start in your own backyard.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to even start closer to that. You have to start with yourself. You know, I think that people, if the people really connected to themselves and their own spiritual self and their own connectedness to nature, it would begin to change a lot of things. And of course, And of course, that's a big leap for a lot of people because we have been deliberately turned away from nature.
Yep.
We have been deliberately cut off from nature. And that's a big problem. That, I think, is one of the biggest problems, that you don't identify yourself as anything except, you know, you have a problem. So you have to come back to your own backyard, then your own self, your own immediate family, starting with yourself, and then reach out to your neighbors, you know. I have to start at square one. I guess you're the square one is what I'm going to say. And it's fine, you know, we do help each other, and that makes a difference. It's sort of like the repercussive pebble in the pond, you know. When you do reach out and help someone, there is something then that is continuing into infinity. That process of helping, that process of caring, that process of being kind and loving, reaching out to others, that is a huge thing. And you may get frustrated and you may say, well, I'm looking at, you know, 300,000 whatever, you know, deaths annually from childbirth, you know, in these countries, in developing countries, and now you feel like you haven't done anything, you know. 870 million people in the entire third world population have no food to eat, and so you feel like I've done nothing, you know. That can drive you crazy. That can really get you down, can it? But you do a lot. I'm not saying we shouldn't continue, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be talking about this. I'm just trying to get a perspective on how overwhelming it is and how that leads some people to feel helpless and hopeless and like nothing's happening, like nothing's being done.
Yeah, there are some things out there. There are a lot of good people out there trying to fight the good fight, but they need help. They need help getting the Congress to, or the Senate or whatever government entity is in the way with regulations and all this and that. They need help with getting those people motivated to understand that this is a problem that we want solved. I mean, it's been how many years? Barbara, I'm 54 years old, and I still remember those commercials as a child. And it just, you know, here we are, 2020. This should be the year. This should be, we got the technology. We've got the means to move stuff, you know. And so what kind of words is it going to take to warm the hearts of those out there that have the machines and the power to actually do the job to get things where they need to be? And it's not just food.
I don't think you're going to get it from the... That's what I'm saying. The people you think go turning to the Congress, turning to the Senate, and stomping your feet and saying, you know, okay, you know, we don't like what you're doing, and we want this done, and we want that done. You know, that's what I'm saying. This is a big problem. It's the biggest problem. It's not new. Like you say, you know, I'm older than you, and I remember the same kind of commercials. I remember the same rhetoric. There's somebody starving over there in China. Eat your dinner. Eat all your dinner now. You know.
Chris Maresh in the chat room said, "Can we bring all? We can bring all the ideas, but until it has been done, it's just an idea." And then he said, "Literally overthrowing the government, putting Shaziz in charge." Laugh out loud. I don't want to be in charge. I want to help, but man. You know,
well, in a way, we're all in charge. You see, this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to go into the Senate. I don't think you want to go into the House. Once you close the door, once you get elected, then they come at you and they say, okay, we own you now.
Yeah, it's too corrupt.
You're not going to get anything done, is what I'm saying.
That's why we the people have to come together with a plan. We are people's corporation, if that's what it has to take, you know. That we come together and we use our resources and our skills to help each other.
Well, you can't rely on the system because the system is corrupt. The authoritarian system is corrupt.
Yeah, you know where we go wrong?
Jesus.
Is we continually compare ourselves and the things that we should do. We continually structure all of that as if we were a corporation, as if we were a government. You know, we have to come together and form a committee to decide what we want to do. We have to come together. You know, we do all of this, and we realize that the system as it is not broken, that's just the way it's made, that we were the ones who were fooled into thinking that this system, this government, no matter where you're at, it doesn't matter where you're at, the government that you are under right now is the same as the government that I'm under right now. and that everybody else is. And nobody's free. If you think you are, if you think that you're beyond a government, then you're fooling yourself. Because we're all controlled. We're all under the government. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything that we truly want to do on our own. Try it. See what happens.
Well,
if you can't do that, then you're not free.
What you said,
and there's no way that we can emulate what is right now the problem and expect that problem not to be there. You know, we'll just create our own little problem. Because somebody, there's going to have to be a hierarchy, and somebody's going to have to call the shots, and then all of a sudden, that somebody who calls the shots is going to need people to back them up, and those people there are going to need people to back them up, and then they're going to have people to protect those people to back those people up, and oh no, we've got a government,
man.
You know, we got to quit thinking like that.
Yeah, it's a tangled mess. But what you were saying about how we can't really go anywhere, you're right. You know. I can't afford to go to these other countries and try to help these children, but I want to figure out a way that, some way that I can, you know, help these children, even if it's just trying to talk and motivate or give people information. We've got access to technology and information. There's got to be some way, even if we're not organized in a group or a structure, so to speak, but we use these skills that we've acquired on these computers and cell phones, and we get things moving, you know?
That's well, you know, the problem. Toys for Tots, remember that?
Huh?
Remember Toys for Tots?
Yeah.
Remember Toys for Tots, and once a year they put these little boxes out and around Christmas time, and they'd say, you know, if you could donate. Remember how those boxes used to overflow? I mean, people would have no problem. Well, that's what we need to do today. And then we need to cut out the government and these charities altogether. You want to give something to someone in another country who is deprived of the things that they need, then find a individual there or a group of individuals in a town or a village and let them know, I'm going to be mailing this stuff directly to you. If you wanted to do something, you could do that. And you could be sure that what you were doing was what you had intended to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you give your money to a charity, you're not giving it to the people who are in need. If you give your money to the church, you're not giving it to the people who are in need. If you give it to your government, you're definitely not giving it to who you need. But if we go people to people, if we go individual to individual, we stand a greater chance. That's where our power always has been. In just standing together without saying I'm the leader or you're the leader, not following and not leading, but just working together.
Yeah.
You know? Now I'll be quiet.
Kind of like the old Pony Express, put them on a horse and send the mail. You know, whatever it takes. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be some way we can do this together.
Where's sister? Where'd she go?
I'm right here. I'm looking at I was looking at the seed savers of the world, you know, this conserving the seeds and how this is a lot of people have been doing this and how important that is, you know. I was just looking at that, you know, the possibilities of things that we can do. You know, in our own communities here in the Hudson Valley, we have groups of people that are saving the seeds and have these... you know, you can go there and you can buy the seeds that are not genetically modified. You know, they're made from people in the whole community.
Heritage seeds.
What?
They call them heritage seeds.
Yeah, the heritage seeds. It says here, if you save the seeds, if you save the seed banks, you're saving the world. And but if you can do this just in your own community, it's very helpful. Because I don't know sometimes about, again, when you get involved in these bigger groups, you don't know where these things are going. You don't know who those people are you're dealing with. You know, it's just looking at this tough, some positive news that, you know, that we can do.
Well, I kind of like what Patty kind of explained about pretty much being your own leader, getting out there doing you know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what she was talking about, but, you know, you get a big, giant, governmental-like organization together, and, you know, it has, seems to have fall under the same traps as all the other, you know, regular governments or whatever, you know, people not getting along, and, you know what I'm trying to say, but, you know, if every single
one... Too many egos.
Huh? Did you say too many?
I said too many egos. Yeah.
And this is more important than anybody's ego, because, you know, if I find somebody in need in my community, I ain't got no problem. I can fix my community. I know that there's people out there, you ladies as well, that, and all these people in the chat room that wouldn't hesitate to go out and fix their community. But, you know, if we could figure out ways to, you know, motivate others out there to do the same exact thing, and, I mean, just keep flooding the world with more positive ideas, things that can be done. I mean, there's so many different ways to farm without even having to have a massive amount of farmland, you know, to get a lot of crops and a lot of food in a short, small area. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, like I said, that are actually trying to help the people around the world. But they're coming up against all kinds of things, you know, whether it be pirates or, you know, they got, you know, civil wars going on here and there. And it ain't the fact that the world don't have the food to give them. It's that they can't get it to them, or by the time they do get it to them, they're already in the worst stages of starvation, and most of the damage has already been done. I'm not saying don't try to save those people. Man, save every single one you can. But we got to start this somehow.
There's even instances to where the governments of the people who are in need are telling other governments, no, you're not sending your stuff here. No, you're not allowed to bring help in. And there's two sides to that coin, too.
Yep.
Because anytime a government says, hey, I'm coming to help another government, you should be real wary. You should be concerned, you know. But the thing of it is that we always want to let somebody manage for us what needs to be done. It always seems easier for us to say, here's my goods, here's my money, and would you please take it and put it where it needs to go? And so we want somebody to manage that for us, because, you know, we're sitting here and we're saying, well, there's people over in Sudan or whatever, and they're in need. They're suffering right now. There's people in Australia with the fires, they're totally without homes, da-da-da-da, no matter where you go. And so we're saying, well, I want to help those people, but shoot, I can't go to Australia. I can't go to Sudan. I don't know anybody over there, but we have an internet, you know?
Yeah.
If we really put our minds together on this, we could figure out how to get our goods. You know, I could buy here $100 worth of groceries, beans and rice, staples that would really, really do some good and feed a whole village probably for a year, you know, just to be able to ship that myself over there. And say if you got your community and 30 people to do that, how much food could you send to one village, you know? This is what I'm saying. If we allow the government... I mean, how long have we been trusting the government and the charities to feed the people in need, to provide medical care to the people in need, to provide housing? You know, how many decades do we keep giving them our money to do this, and it's still not happening? Still, people are starving.
Right,
still, people are homeless.
Even here in the United States, there's still people in the United States that are falling on seriously hard times. And not all of these folks are homeless. Some of them are two parent. They both hold jobs. They try to take care of their children and daycare and medicine and all that. And they just fall short at the end of the month because it costs so much to rent anywhere. And it really depends on where you live too, because I've heard, rental prices in places like California or, Florida, man, that's like a whole month's wages to somebody around here on minimum wage. You know, how you do that? You could have a place to stay, but you can't afford to eat, and it's a shame because here in the United States, we see so much waste, and some of it can't be helped, but the largest majority of it can be. And, there are people out there reclaiming and saving the food before it gets to the garbage and distributing it around to people that they can. So there are people that are really trying. But there's a lot of businesses out there that don't even realize that there are ways that they can deduct that off their taxes whenever, they help the needy out with it. So, some of it has to do with the lack of knowledge about what you can legally do and what you can't. Because a lot of these companies, they're afraid they're going to get sued if somebody gets some secondhand food from their store, and they'll turn around and get sued. Well, the government protects them against that. There are things set in place for that. It goes way back to when Bill Clinton was in office. So, it's not that we don't have enough food. It's not that the infrastructure couldn't work. It's just not efficient. It's not doing every possible thing it could to resolve it. And, for the most part, the biggest thing they probably need is a way to figure out not only transportation for this stuff, but to get people to volunteer, to help out. I was talking about how they got this harvester program. It's a wonderful program for a lot of people. It's even benefited my family times, when we were falling short. But I went and volunteered, and it's as simple as going carrying some bags of groceries to, some elderly couple's car, or even a younger lady carrying a child or something like that, All those little things. There's so much each individual could out there be doing that, it's an effort. I understand if you're in a wheelchair and you can't, physically get out there and do that. But if you can get on the phone or on the internet and you can call some people who got a good heart and they want to help and do that kind of stuff. Man, I tell you what, when we need to rally the troops, we know how to rally the troops. And that's kind of, I guess, what I'm trying to do here today is I'm trying to rally the troops. I sit here and I talk about this stuff and it's really disheartening. It gets me really emotional because it falls close to home. I've been down those roads before. I've seen things, and I don't want to see anybody have to go through that kind of stuff. But, like you ladies were saying earlier, this is a problem that can get so overwhelming that people would start to believe that there's no way that we can fix it. There's no solution. I think we're looking at the solution. I think what we're doing right now is part of that solution. I think the folks that come in these chat rooms and make these comments and they share these links and the information with each other, kind of look out there at every social media network and flood them. Tell them we got these ideas. Here's a list of ideas that we come up with. Pick any one of them and run with it. Bring them to the table. I'd love to get some people out there working on these programs. I'd love to get them here on the Knights of the Round Table and tell the world what they've been doing. Tell the world what problems that they've come up against that they've either resolved or they needed a solution to resolve. There's got to be a way, folks. We've got to figure out a way to do this. We can't just keep going year after year and decade after decade seeing the same commercials that all of us here on this panel have seen for majority of our lives. A baby in such terrible shape. And, they don't always make it. Most time they don't. A while back on the Knights of the Round Table, we shared a photo that is actually on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. And, I like to share that photo because to me, it's a miracle. What that lady did is a miracle. That baby standing there a year later in his little jumpsuit is a miracle. And I want to see more of those miracles. I know that there are a lot of good people out there. You know, I know there's a lot of people that have that capability of actually producing a miracle just like that. And that's why I'm shouting it out. I'm trying to... We all are. We're all shouting it out.
You're talking about that one incident, and it's touched you for all these years. I'm sure it touched a lot of other people, but what it says again to me is individually, you have to do one thing, and there's a repercussive, experience from that. A repercussiveness is what we're talking about. It seems, because it is pretty overwhelming and we're reliant on the other persons, on authorities and so on and so forth, and the messed up governments in all the world, and the corporate minds, the corporate, corporations and the war machines and so on. These are the things that people are stuck with. We're relying on them, and it's so huge and overwhelming. What people are doing is they're getting angry. And what people are doing, yeah, they're rallying together. They're coming into unity, but they're coming into unity in rage, enraged, right? Well, we all have a right to be enraged, but that's not very productive, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So you have this one woman who sees this child like that, or you have somebody else who saw a dog in the street starving, and they take that dog home and put it on video. Now that dog is a happy puppy. And it's found its home, and it's joyous, and given licks and kisses to the person who saved its life. I mean, over and over and over again, we see these stories, that one person makes an impact. That tells us something, And I guess what I'm saying is, it's like people who are feeling overwhelmed and feeling enraged, I'm going to say, well, if that's all real... we should be feeling enraged, and we are all overwhelmed, but then you get into that mindset of, this is too big, I can't do anything, there's nothing I can do, this is too big of a mess. And that's the problem right there, is because it takes one person to make a difference, as we have seen over and over and over again, So yeah, coming into unity and standing together, but in that peaceful way to make a difference, not to destroy things, and certainly not to destroy each other, But this is a solution, is coming together in unity with peace in your heart for your people, for your families, for other persons' families, Forget the authorities, forget the system. We've seen, as we said, over and over and over again, they don't have our best interests at heart, folks. They have a club. I'm not in that club. You're not in that club. And this is the elite. This is the corporate mind. This is the war machine. We're not in that club. But they sure use us, and they're sure happy when we're fighting each other, So this is where we have to wake up on this, in that area there is what I'm saying. So they're doing a good job really keeping us pitted against each other and feeling very hopeless and frustrated and beside ourselves, with this. So, in a way, it's good we're talking about this, because we have to really wake up to these pieces here. People have been trained and indoctrinated to depend upon the system. The system that we are under was put in place by that club, the people that are in that club, those authorities, the elite, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter to me. Look at the system that we are under, every aspect of the system. Even the, agricultural system, the education system, the religious system, the political system, the financial system. It's all been put into place and manipulated for someone's gain, and it's not our gain. So how long are we going to stay reliant and stay in that matrix? Because to me it is a matrix. It's a web. We're the little bugs in that web. We're stuck believing that, we're going to get free someday. Someday somebody good will come along. Someday so the right person will come along and free us. We just have to vote for that one, or we have to think that, maybe this person is the one. Well, let's vote for that one, and let's punch each other out. If your politician got in, let's scream at each other and punch each other and still be enraged, because the system is not working. The system will never work because of those that are ruling this system. And that's my rant for right now.
Yeah, the system is working. It's working perfectly.
Yeah, in the wrong direction.
Did we lose Tracy?
You know, what I want to say to the comment that was made about, people are, they look at it and they think it's overwhelming, that it's just too much for them, they can't take it. Then bring your focus back closer to you. Don't try to take in all of it. Bring it back home and do something there, because we live in this world next door to each other, across the globe. Somebody is living really close to you, if not on top of you, but under you, whatever. If you want to do something to help someone, you don't have to look across the world to find somebody to help. You can look next door. I can almost guarantee that somebody is in need. And if you help somebody, maybe somebody will help someone else. Maybe they'll get to the point where they're capable of helping someone else. We got to get away from this defeatist attitude that we don't have the ability to make change, because we do. Each one of us does. And if each one of us were to make a change for someone's life for the better, then we would have done a greater deed than any of our governments have ever done.
Yep.
Just saying.
Well, it's the law. It's sort of like a universal law. What goes around comes around, to reemphasize that. So, yes, that's why I'm saying come back to your own family, your own home, your own backyard. It is a huge monster out there. It's a huge problem out there. And like I'm saying, one person you reach out, that's going to have a repercussive, like the pebble in the pond. It makes sense universally, like a law, that what goes around comes around. And when you reach out to help someone in your backyard or your community, there's others in that community that were helped or came into that unity, and they're going to reach out too, because it gives people hope. You can help people to have hope just by reaching out in one little area in your community. But to me, it's like you have to start with yourself. You have to find the hope within yourself. Because we're inundated with all this helpless, hopeless stuff and too big a problem and so on and so forth. And I think that's the plan. I have to keep talking about the agenda, and they're very good at this. They're very good at knocking us about and keeping us down, holding us down and giving us the sense that it's all hopeless, it's too big. Either you're so hopeful upon the authorities or the politicians or somebody else doing this or taking care of this, and then you keep getting hit in the face and saying, well, that's not working. What's going to happen? It's too scary. This is too big. Or you find the hope within yourself. This is what I feel is the foundation that we need. We need that strong sense of connectedness, not only to something far greater than ourselves. Okay, so just say it's humanity. Our people, our family, our friends, and the neighbors that we might not know yet.
Yeah.
Coming together is what we really need in unity, and stop get yourself, we've talked about get away from this matrix. We talk about we're in a matrix, a contrived system that we're all being controlled by. How are you going to get out of that? It's in your hands. You have to get out of this system that they're controlling us. They're controlling our minds. They're controlling us, physically and emotionally and even spiritually. So this is what I'm talking about. It's not hopeless, and we're not helpless. This is the whole point why we're talking here, because we know there are solutions, and we have the solutions in our hands.
Yeah, when I posted that link to that picture again out there, because I wanted people to see it. When I look at pictures, I don't just look at the main focus of the picture in the front. I'm always looking in the back and seeing what's going on in this picture or whatever. And this one lady here, she's sitting there giving this little baby some water and stuff, and there's a whole bunch of people in the background. I'm kind of wondering, where were all the other, adults out there? Why was this lady the one that stepped forward or whatever? But the fact that she did, and to see this picture, what amazes me the most about it is the amazing transformation from what you see on the left to what you see on the right. That, to me, is a miracle. This lady, she went the full distance to help this child out. Now this child has a chance for a future. You know, I read stories about this deal because I really looked into it, and the child was just riddled with parasites and health problems, and you see what the child looked like prior to what the child looks like now, and that's a big accomplishment. That's just one person out of the world that was able to do that right there. So you imagine what would happen if all the rest of the good people of the world step forward. You know, it's easy to give a can of food to your local charity. That's great, you know. Hey, keep doing that. But still, if you ever have the opportunity to go that distance, I mean, what do you got to lose? You got to help each other out. You got to realize you're a lot more powerful than you think you are. You've been told so many times, Don't pick up the hitchhiker. They might be an axe murderer. Don't give food to that homeless guy. He's just going to buy dope or alcohol. You know, you've been told all this stuff. They've used every tactic from fear to just flat out lying to you or keeping you fighting each other. You know, as long as you're fighting amongst each other, a lot of those folks out there that I see in protest, they're fighting each other. You know, they're well fed. They got nice clothes on their back. They really, as compared to this child here on the left of this photo, they don't have no problems. You know, their problems are they pale in comparison. If you really sit down and you think about how fortunate you are out there standing on that protest line with your wool jacket or your feathers or whatever inside your vest or keeping you warm or that nice hat you got on and the fresh bottle of water you got. You think about how fortunate you are. You're here in the United States. I can't understand why there are so many people willing to go to the mat and protest their government instead of realizing that they've been played like a banjo, like Barbara and Patty's explained to you so many times. It's not your government that's going to fix it. It's the same people during Katrina or all the other disasters that you've heard about that are always there on the front line, that are always there first with the blankets, with the medicine, with the food, with the love and the concern for their fellow brothers and sisters. It's you. If you're waiting around for the miracle to show up, then you're wasting time. Go stand in front of that mirror. Take a good, long, deep look into your eyes. You're the miracle you've been waiting for. This lady was the miracle that child was waiting for. You know, I don't know what to do or what to say other than the things that I've been doing and saying for all these years.
That's what we're doing. That's what you can do. You know, it's interesting because if you want a universal shift, if you want a major shift, we're part of creating a shift. If you're unhappy with the system and you want something to shift and change, you have to step up to the plate. But a simple, random act of kindness, okay, is like a feedback loop of positive energy creation. That's what I was talking about, like the pebble in the pond. You know, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling depressed, and so on, people go through this. If you help others, if you reach out and volunteer, that raises your vibration. And we're talking about frequency and vibration and energy constantly. And this is how we all impact the whole, the greater whole, because we are all connected. We're not separate. We're not isolated in this system. We're connected. So it's the vibrations, your frequency, that yourself and those that you help, okay, what basically it's a collective experience, you know. This is what we're talking about, is how we are creating a universal shift. And this is how this happens throughout the whole of the web. Let's create, nurture the sacred web of life, not the matrix. The matrix is a deadly web. There is such a thing. You know, like unconditional love, there's meaning no strings attached, no feeling of obligation. Just reach out. Create an act of kindness like that lady did and others did. You know, in some, I don't know where it is, but some state, doesn't matter. You know, there's a lot of homeless, we know about the homeless situation, and in some state they're actually paying homeless people to pick up the trash on the side of the road, you know. Giving them, not only giving them a sense of self-esteem, but to purpose and significance, but they're also getting help too. But they're helping the environment, you know. They're picking up the trash, they're taking charge of that. You know, that's a good thing. But we need to do these kinds of random acts of kindness, they call it, I guess. It changes your frequency, it changes your vibration when you reach out. It will change your life, you know, just like that woman did. That little boy who she helped and others who are being helped by some one person will go on and turn around, and they'll remember that goodness, and they'll remember, and they'll reach out. And that's how it works. This is what's happening.
Well, it
works in the
me.
Opposite way as well.
It worked for me because I refused to let that story die, because that story is important for other people to realize that she, this lady set a good precedent of what can be done. You know, that a lot of people, you see people in the background just walking past that child. They weren't over there coddling that child or helping that lady to take care of that child. That was a one-on-one soul thing going on there. That lady's soul with that little sweet soul in that body there that was so deformed from malnutrition. And you look on the picture on the right and you see what she was able to accomplish. That is the greatest miracle. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, I will never let that story die. You've probably heard me talk about this picture before. I won't stop talking about that picture. I'll put it out there. As long as there's other children like that that need somebody to come up there and do the same thing for them, man, I want to hear other people's good stories. I want to hear everybody's successes. I want people to know that there are people out there really seriously trying to resolve this issue. They just need our help. It's that simple. If it's a one-on-one in your community, then that's the best you can do. Then nobody can fault you for that. You know, and like I said, I don't begrudge anybody for just handing off some, you know, canned goods to the local charity because it's going to help somebody out. But if you can go the distance, like this lady did, you can uplift somebody's life. That little child, he'll never forget that. That little child probably going to go out there and be one of the most helpful people that you ever met in your life. That's one of the things, one of the benefits about doing a kind act is, you know, it's like that pay it forward that Patty's always talking about. It's amazing. It's not just that you feel good doing it. It's the fact that the person behind you don't know who you are, never knew you, never met you, probably never will meet you. And just out of the blue, you did something that benefited their life and they feel like it's necessary that they pass it on. That's an amazing thing. Those smiles, those ripples of positive, messages out there, the frequency of what Barbara keeps talking about. Man, I'd like to start a tsunami of pebbles into the pond across there. Just nothing but love just rolling across this world that we live in, because the world really needs some healing right now. And if you think positive of yourself, you'll be able to help people a lot better. You're a miracle. Each and every one of you is a miracle. You got to realize that. My God didn't make any trash, only treasure. That makes every single one of you one of those diamonds or jewels, you know, or emeralds or rubies. It's these shiny things that people seem to want to fight over all the time. That's what you are. You're a treasure. The gifts that you've got, the gifts that you've been given, the blessings that you've been overly abundantly just showered with, and sometimes you don't even realize it. Even the poorest family here in the United States probably has it a lot better off than some of the people in these war-torn places like Sudan and Afghanistan and all the different places in the Middle East. You know, but we can do better for them, and we can do better for those folks as well. We can do better for one another. We can't do better as long as we're fighting. As long as we're getting triggered over somebody's hat color. Sitting around there doing what the system wants us to do. They want you calling each other racist. They want you looking at each other like you're different. You're not different. The same light that shines in me shines in each one of you. By God, you need to turn it up.
We have Jerry with us. Jerry has joined.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Hey, Jerry. Good to have you.
Hey, you guys. Long time no see. Been taking a little sabbatical here. Taking care
That's
of myself.
Okay. Good for
you. Needed to have a little downtime.
Yeah, you got to be strong for yourself if you're going to be strong for this world.
Yeah, I've been feeling a lot of stuff going on, a lot of just really intense stuff. So I just really needed to take care of me. I'm busy taking care of people all day, my whole life. So yeah, but I love this conversation. You know, it's so important to have this conversation. And I was thinking about, you know, traveling. I love to travel, and I think it's a really good thing for people to get out of their comfort zone and be with people who think differently and act differently and, you know, eat differently, speak differently. And one of the things that I've come across with this whole topic is also just as far as, like, how we spend our money. I've heard, like you guys were saying about, oh, we've had these, you know, people telling us don't pick up hitchhikers, don't talk to strangers, you know. And then in Mexico, where I've traveled a lot, people say don't buy things from people on the street. Like, don't buy crafts and jewelry and things from the actual people that make them. And that just made me so mad when because I saw that in several tourist places that were giving tourist advice, and they're, you know, trying to make these Indians or these people who, you know, didn't have regular jobs. They just, you know, lived off of their crafts, you know, arts and crafts and stuff that they make in Mexico. And so that's another thing that I wanted to throw in there. That's why I got onto the call, because I thought, you know, if for us to be supporting each other with either trade goods or services with people that we believe in and that we that are on, you know, this waking up wavelength, you know, so we're supporting other people's businesses and you know, their gifts. And so I remember one time hearing an elder talk about that, like how important it is to be hiring, you know, kids to help us out, young people, and to teach them things. And because that's another part of society that's really gotten sort of pushed to the wayside, is elderly people hanging out with younger people. And like, I'm always telling older people, they come in and they've put their back out, or they're, you know, doing their shoulders really hurt because they've been doing too much work. I said, you know, that's what teenagers are for. You have to find people in your neighborhood to hire these young kids. They don't have anything to do, and they don't even know what it is to work in this culture here in the United States. And so that's been my kind of push, is to, you know, really try to get people back to, you know, supporting each other and being together, working, doing things, helping each other out. And then that whole thing about hiring teenagers to help you out.
I love everything you just said. I love that. That's one of the issues that is responsible for a lot of the poverty. Is like when you was talking about buying crafts directly from the people who make a living on it. That's you're supporting that person. You know,
yes,
there are companies that will go out and buy from them people, and then sell it at a 300% or more markup, and that person can barely get by with what they're making off of this deal. And that's probably why these people would tell you not to buy from these folks, because they're probably trying to sell the same thing in their gift shop or something like that. No, I love what you said.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to, you know, you get to talk to the actual person who made it, and they can explain things like what it means and what the colors mean and the designs and things. And you get this human interaction that happens, whereas, you know, we're so used to just walking in a store and buying things. We don't know. A lot of the stuff that looks like Huichol Indian beadwork is actually made in China in sweatshops, you know, so... So, I mean, I always tell people when I hear they're going to Mexico or anywhere, really, is to buy things on the street from the people who are making it. Because, yeah, like you said, yeah, you're directly supporting them. They're making 100% of their of that money. And the other thing is the thing about, like, talking people down in the price. So, when I'm buying stuff, if I buy gifts or something, when I go places, I like to buy gifts for later on, I don't know for who, just to have stuff around to give away. And so I like to buy it from those kinds of people who are actually making it and going to be, you know, that's supporting them and their family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then, but you get to have conversations and get to know people and to have a human interaction, rather than paying some middleman who's, you know, yeah, screwing them, because they're probably paying them half of what I would pay them on the street, you know, or at least, you know, half, less than half probably. But so then I was really happy to see there was an article that of this movement, because people have this attitude when they go to India or to Mexico or places where it's like really poor people, that they expect to be haggled down for prices and stuff. And I'm like, you don't go into Walmart or Safeway and say, oh, I only want to pay 50 cents for this, not a dollar, you know. So I always pay the people what they ask, you know, or, you know, I kind of wait around and see if they'll go down a little bit or something, but I don't haggle over prices. And I was really happy to see in one time an article recently about that there's this movement of trying to get people to stop haggling the street people who sell their stuff on the streets in Mexico. So stop trying to get the prices down and pay them a fair price for stuff. So yeah. I was really happy to see that. So I just feel like that's all kind of interrelated with that topic of reaching out and being with people and supporting you know, other people and helping people out.
No, so that's amazing. That's exactly what I've been talking about. These ideas and what you just said right there, I hope somebody out there is taking good notes and making a list and things like this, because you put that out there, especially the way you just said that there, I'm telling you, it just blows my mind. I know there's so much wisdom just at this little table right here. These people that come in these chat rooms and then they put all these wonderful comments and links to all kinds of information. You should come back more often.
Well, thank you. This is a better hour for me, because your other show on Sunday morning, I usually go to your show on Saturday, or is that Sunday? I can't remember which one, but one of them is at 6 in the morning. I'm like, I cannot do that. That's 6 in the morning my time.
Well, we're trying to give this a go to see how it works out, you know, family-wise. I got to make sure I balance with so I keep my wife happy and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's going to work out okay. And it does help.
Yeah, that sounds good, because Fridays I don't usually work. Sometimes I go in and do paperwork or something. But so that would work well for me. Yeah, because I always like, I do my own show on Sundays, but I've been taking a break from that for the last few weeks. And but I like the idea of learning how to share the chat room with other people, because I'm just used to doing it myself, so it's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just anytime you want to join in, I just come and share some of that wisdom of your life that you've been there, you've been around. All of us have. We've seen some things.
Yeah, we've been around the block a couple times, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you, folks, I started off by telling you, you know, big problems require big solutions. And it's true. This is a really big problem. It's probably not one we're going to solve overnight. But I honestly believe that if we ever decide to, we can resolve every single problem under the sun. I believe that with everything I am, because I understand how powerful each and every one of you are. Heck, the words coming out of your mouth, you can either take those words and you can uplift somebody's spirits to the highest reaches of heaven or down to the lowest, greatest, darkest, deepest abyss. That's how powerful your words are. You think that this is just a bunch of talk? You know, we get on here, we talk about things and get all emotional and excited about stuff, and you think it's just a bunch of folks having a chat? No, we're taking that energy that's deep down inside of us and we're turning that light up as bright as we possibly can, and we're shining it out there. So at least this corner of the world, that corner of the world, and that corner of the world over there, at least four corners of the world, and all the numbers of the people in the chat room, looks like there's 18 people over that one. But so, you know, all those different corners of the world, there's some shiny little lights going on right there. Imagine what happens if we get all these lights to turn on. Imagine if we get the people out there realizing what their true potential really is. You know, you're not going to get this help from the government. You're not going to get this help from the companies or the corporations, the ones out there running sweatshops or the, you know, the blood diamonds or whatever industry out there is in it to win it, and they want to make money and they don't care who falls by the wayside. The military-industrial complex that has the power to amass machinery and medicines and foods and weapons of war and personnel and take them halfway across the world and take somebody's city down to complete and utter rubble. In the process, they help to cause the problems that fall by. When you do something, there's consequences. You go over there and you bomb these people. You take out what is classified as collateral damage. That's somebody's father. That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's child. That's another piece of the puzzle that we'll never get back. That's somebody who could have been beneficial to the rest of the world. You think about that. You know, I get it. Patriotism is good to be loving your country. I want everybody to love their country. I want everybody to love each other. But before we take that step to where we're going to go over there and we're going to do damage to other people, before we go to war with one another, we have to realize that we leave a trail behind, a devastating trail. In places like Sudan, where they got these civil wars going on, and you know, it's not like Sudan's not a good place to grow crops. You can grow crops. There's food. There's things available, but they can't get to them. They have to risk their lives to bring stuff in. In the meantime, the damage that has been done is beyond repair. It's devastating. Emotionally, mentally, physically, and completely and utterly life-threatening damage that is done to families because of some war, because of some craziness. We got to use that true power that we have. We got to figure out a way to keep our light shining even in the worst of times. Because if we can't handle it now, how are we going to handle it when things really go bad? I want everyone out there to be prepared for themselves, for them families. I want everybody to do the best you can for yourself. Basically, you need to keep yourself strong. Spiritually, mentally, and physically, you need to keep yourself strong. Because the one standing next to you is going to be the one that's going to rely on you for that strength when times get tough. And they are already tough for other people. This picture, this little child and this lady, that's some tough times. But that lady, she stepped in there and she dragged that baby off the battlefield. You look at that baby now. That baby's a miracle. That is a beautiful child. That is a beautiful soul right there.
Well, the thing is that everybody's a beautiful soul, my friend.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
The point is that people can't even know there's a beautiful soul within themselves. So how can you even reach out to someone else if you don't believe that you, yourself, are a beautiful soul? You know, and I think this is the crux of the whole thing, is that disconnect, that deliberate disconnect, everyone from their original essence, their sacredness. You know, I say that all the time, and I have to keep repeating myself because I do feel that that is a key piece that is missing, you know. So, yeah, so, you know, basically, Ooj says nobody in this world is right in their head. And he said he's heard that. He said what he means is everyone is imperfect, yeah. In so many ways, we're all imperfect. And, you know, perfection comes when you're dead. Perfection comes when you're gone from this mess. Suddenly you wake up and you realize how perfect you were in the Creator's eyes, I'm going to say, and how beautiful you were and how significant you were in Creator's eyes, and how you were supposed to be here for a really important reason. Everyone, like we say, everyone is significant. And I think the missing piece is that they deliberately disconnected us from our original essence, that we are sacred beings, that we are beings of light, that we have an awesome, incredible, unimaginable power with that love and that light that is within us. And that's our connectedness to Source, you know. And there's that foundation that is so necessarily needed. Like I say, when the poop really hits the fan, what are you going to do then if you don't have that foundation? It's that foundation. Like, we call ourselves spiritual warriors. Well, what does that really mean? We talk about we're in a spiritual war. Well, what does that really mean? So you have to put your thinking caps on, people, and realize what we are doing here and what is meaningful and what is being manipulated and what is significant within you. And it is that light. It is that spirit, that soul within us. It's our connectedness to Source. You know, and Source includes nature. I was saying earlier to my sister Patty that they deliberately disconnected us from the mother, from nature. The mother is the healer. You know, Mother Nature is the healer. That's where I get my healing. I go out there and go by the water or by a tree or the forest or whatever. When I'm in a bad place, I find myself being called. I need to go out upon the mother. Yes, and invariably, I am renewed and I'm built up. I feel stronger. I feel peace. I feel inner peace. I feel joy because something starts to happen out there. It's automatic when you connect with the source of our nature, which is Mother Nature. It awakens your spirit. It soothes your soul. You're feeding your soul. And we are lost from that, and that's deliberate. So you're wandering around, disconnected, detached from what is really so significant and important. In the times coming, we're going to need that foundation. So I say, get right with your Creator. I've always said that. Yep, I sound like a preacher. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. Never intended to be a preacher, but I feel get right with your Creator. Plant the seeds, you know, of your spiritual connectedness. That foundation is strong. That's a shield. It's like this powerful shield that, you know, that it's sort of like this light around you. It's a power. And I think that's what we were originally. We were beings of light. And something's infiltrated into that, into the minds, into our bodies, into the spirit of ourself. It's been nibbling away at it, destroying it, destructing it, taking it down, corrupting it. And so that's where we are today. So I'm going to say it again. Get right with your Creator, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you call it. To me, it's that spiritual connectedness. It's something far greater. It's an intelligence. It's an omniscience. It's something awesome. It's a miracle. You talk about a miracle. This is where miracles happen. Within our own self, when you get in touch with the spirit that is within you naturally, the light within you, it's powerful. That's your protective shield. That's the shield we need, because we are in a spiritual war. This is what I'm saying. We better get our shields going here. We're the, Rainbow Warriors. There's a prophecy. We are all fulfilling a prophecy when we come together in unity. Look at each other. Look at each other's eyes. Get heart to heart. Get to know those people. Like, you know, Jerry, you're talking about going to Mexico and places like that and being with the people. I've done that myself. For years, I went to Mexico, traveled to Mexico. And I would buy from the people in the streets, and I got to know whole families. They would take me home and feed me. And it was really a beautiful thing. I got to know these beautiful people. I love the Mexican people. I love the country. I love that place. And those people are suffering. There's a lot of poverty there. But boy, they reach out. They smile at you. You're walking down these little towns. And wherever you are in Mexico, the people say, Buenos dias. Good morning. You don't even know these people. I spent months there. I came back and I was in that frequency of buenos dias or buenas noches, you know, good day, good night. I was in that frequency. I came back here to the United States. There was nobody looking at me. Nobody even smiling. It was a jolt. It was such a different energy, such a different frequency. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What a difference.
Yeah. And then you compare, like, when you go into stores down there and they have, like, you know, 15 items, and you come to these big, huge box stores here. I've had that kind of a jolt coming back to this society where, you know, the amount of food that's available here is, like, shocking. You know, but, and the weird thing is, too, it's like people are actually flocking to Mexico from here. I don't know if people know that, but
yeah,
there's, like, tons of people moving to Mexico right now. You
as
know,
a matter of fact,
and
it's
so there's
going
this whole
on.
Smoke,
yeah,
smoke screen, screen of the wall, you know, trying to keep people out of here, but it's actually, you know, yeah, there was this movie called A Day Without a Mexican. I don't know if you guys ever watched that, but it's pretty funny. But it's actually coming true right now. That you know,
I love
the,
those people. I love
yeah.
those Mexican people. I love the tribal people. They're tribal people too, just
yep.
like us.
Yeah,
we're all tribal people.
Yep, that's right. And they have it more together. It's like they're if you know things get really bad there, they know how to come together in community. And I think that's part of why Trump wants that wall is to keep us in the we're to just keep believing that we're separate, that we're separated, that
well,
we're not.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's
yeah.
Jerry. This whole thing, the whole game is to keep us separate. I don't care whether it's a wall, wherever
yeah.
it is, whatever it is, it's about to keep us separate. That's
yeah.
the whole plan, and they're not. It's not going to happen because innately we are connected. You can't separate what is connected.
Right.
You can put up a wall. You know, you can build a moat. You can build a moat, stand on that little island and say, oh, I love you from a distance and not really be that love. But you're still connected. You know, it's just a sad thing that we're disconnected on such a level. I'm just saying. I think Patty had something to say.
Well, yeah, and I just want to clarify, too, that if we're talking about coming together, the thing about in Mexico, they smile and they wave and everything, but not here. That's a separation. Just saying, not to say anything else, but you just put a wall between one culture and the other, saying, oh, one's happy and the other's not. I'm just saying. And then I just wanted to add also that here in Kansas, and mostly for the most part in Missouri, and these are the only I've been, but I can tell you that the people here are friendly, that the people will say good morning, that the people will stop if they see you on the side of the road. They're going to ask you if you need a ride. They're going to ask you if you broke down.
They will stand in
line behind you and pay for your groceries. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
The thing is, that we got to stop. Yeah, we have to stop making separations and divisions. We've got to stop putting up those we don't have a right to go against any culture and say, oh, you're good, you're bad, you're da 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 da. What we need to start saying is there are people who care, there are people who are connected, and there are people who don't care, and there are people who aren't connected. But they're not relegated to simply one date, one government, you know, one continent. This is where I think we still pick up those old habits of finding ways to separate ourselves, to say here's the haves and here's the have-nots, you know, to give status to one culture and take away from another. And it's just feeding into... I didn't want to come across as being, you know, just stirring things, stirring the pot, and I don't want to do that. But I do think it's important that we make sure, say we want to be all inclusive and we want to come together, that's exactly the message that we put out,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, I agree with you.
I'll be quiet.
I agree with you. And to take it further, I have seen things when I've been to Mexico that aren't nice either. I've seen good things here when I come home. I was just noting and stating this experience I had, this personal experience that was really stunning to me. It made such a difference. Now, I'm not saying that in my town here, in my community, people don't smile and say hello, because they do. And then there are people who don't. I was just noting the difference of my experience of being there, the majority of people in these small towns that are poverty-stricken. Yes, and of course, I'm not ignorant to say that there's bad, good, and ugly in every circumstance. And so it's you're right, sis. I agree. That's not what I was saying. I was not saying all Mexicans are wonderful and smile at you, and all Americans here are crappy and don't. but you're right. Why you're right is that we have to be conscious of the way we talk, because in today's world, this is what's happening. People are putting this colored person in this basket, and that colored person in that box or basket, and all people who have that color are this, and all people who have that religion are that. And that's true. Exactly right. What's going on in there? Not good.
I want to bring in something that Chris Maresh in the chat room, it's kind of on the science kind of thing, but it's also something he said that when you talk about starvation, there's also you got water quality and stuff like that out there in the world that needs to be resolved. And for years, we've been using technology that has literally the capability of pulling water right out of the air. And, you know, it's called a dehumidifier, but, you know, your standard dehumidifier might have to be modified a little bit to ensure that you don't pick up any crud, like, you know, metals or anything like that, but it's still something that the technology does exist. But he was talking about how dehumidifiers, you know, over there, and, you know, I'm always talking about electricity and, you know, free electricity and stuff like every bit of what we need to resolve the starvation in the world and the thirst and homelessness and all that. We have all the technology today to solve it. It's a matter of bringing us together somehow, some way, bringing us together to put all this information, all these pieces of the puzzle in the right order to show these people, look, this is what we can do. You know, if you get a water treatment system over there such as what he's talking about, using that type of technology, you don't have to worry about groundwater being corroded, because this will pull water, clean water, right out of the air. And there are companies out there that are actually building systems like this. So it's not something that needs to be designed. It's already been done. And so I just wanted to thank Chris for putting that out there. I've talked about this prior in the past on other Knights of Mad Science, well, actually even on the Knights of the Roundtable. I've talked about that dehumidifier technology. I used to have an old one. I lived in an Earth Contact home, and it was humid all the time. You could pull tons of water out of that thing. You have to go there, empty that tray out, you know, a couple times in one day. It depends on how humid it is. But you can clean cruddy water just by taking and building a shed and putting the cruddy water in one side of the room and the dehumidifier in the other side of the room. And that heat of that shed will cause that evaporation to occur and make that room humid, and that dehumidifier will pull that water back down without all the heavy and the crud that the water had prior. So, there are solutions available. But what we're talking about here, this is the biggest problem that we have, is trying to bring these people together, to try to uplift these people to understand what it is that you, Barbara, have explained, and Patty and Jerry here have explained to people about how we treat one another. That is our biggest problem. That's the reason why all these things out there happen. It's a domino effect. Words have started wars, for Pete's sake. It's the words that are coming out of our mouth that are powerful.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with that. And then also when we were talking about people talking to each other, I just, what I try doing recently is when I go into stores, I try to really look into the people's eyes that are working behind the counter and stuff, and just kind of chat or really kind of make a connection, you know. And I find that people are actually pretty open to it if you... you know, I kind of have to remember to actually do it because we're so used to just rushing along and not connecting with people. And, you know, so there's these little things that we can do just in our daily lives of more, you know, connecting more and making that human connection. So, because I think that there's so much energy in that. There really is. It's way more than we can even imagine. And that's why there's so much energy put into trying to keep us separate, you know. So that just, you know, I just was thinking about this time I was on the coast and I went to this guy who had a little fish shop, and just, I wanted to get some fish, and he was so cool. You know, I thought, oh, here's this kid. He's probably just on his cell phone all the time. I don't have anything to talk to him about. But that was my judgment of him. But I initiated a little chat with him, and he just told me all this stuff about the local businesses and things that they're trying to do that to keep the big businesses from gobbling up the little businesses. And, you know, I felt like just me opening up that conversation was a source of energy for him and kind of feeds into what, you know, this good stuff that he's trying to do in his community. So I think that we can feed each other in that way too, feed each other's, you know, movements of people, you know, trying to keep their communities together and do good things to support each other's businesses and that kind of thing.
Yep, that's brilliant. That's another good, I hope, like I said, I hope people are taking notes to write this down, to put it in a how to make the world a better place for dummies book or something. Because, you know, one of the things when I listened about all the different shopping and trying to bring it down to the little mom and pop shops and stuff like that, supporting the people that are selling, you know, directly on the street, that's a great thing. The best thing that you can do for everyone else out there, if you're going to go shopping, at least be an informed shopper. You know, take a little bit of time to do a little bit of research. Hey, where does store chains like Walmart get all these products from? I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember, but Walmart used to have, back when Sam Walton was alive, had a sign, a big sign on there, Made in USA. And then you go there and look, and suddenly it was like bringing it back home to the USA. That was when his son took over or something. And then you go around, and you're hard-pressed to find anything made in USA. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that, you know, don't buy anything from a different country, but you have to understand the corporations that bring these products in from different companies or countries like Mexico and Korea and all the different places you see on the little tags down there. How are those folks that are making those being treated? Are they receiving a fair wage? Did they receive a fraction of what you're paying this company here to do that? So maybe by supporting the mom and pop shops and the people on the streets of Mexico that are actually the ones that made the product and selling it, trying to earn a living, maybe by supporting those, you can put the big dog in its place. You see what I'm saying? I hope it makes sense to you like it does to me.
Well, I totally agree with that. You know, I believe that money is a hologram and that economy is a hologram. Don't tell Mike Montagna that. He'll have something to say. But no, I love Mike. I love his stuff. I think that we should get rid of all the banks. But, you know, that money is a belief system and that prosperity is a belief system. And that we, as working people, I assume, you know, most of us on here are from sort of working kind of backgrounds. And even if we're not, we're all seem like we're really normal, kind people and thinking about the future for the planet and for one another. But that how we spend our money is, I think, more important than how we vote. I don't believe in voting. You know, I don't believe it's real. I actually got invited to go to the Brown and Black Caucus. It was a it's a like a minority caucus for when Dennis Kucinich was running for president back in, I think it was 94, 98, something like that. But I had gotten tickets. Somebody gave me a ticket to go in, and I went in there, and I saw how the media controls the debates firsthand. Whenever he opened his mouth, everybody in the room was just went ballistic. They were like, wow, somebody's actually saying something. The guy's intelligent and answers questions for real. And he's a real human being. And after a while, the moderators stopped calling on him. That was when there was like 8 different people running for the Democratic vote. And I'm not a Democrat. I'm not nothing. But I just got invited, so I thought I'd go to see what was going on. But I'm really glad I went. But so they shut the whole thing down. They closed down the all the lights off of the speakers. They shut the cameras off, and they told Dennis Kucinich, "You better just shut your mouth. Stop making noise because we're not going to call on you anymore." And they just called on Dean and Kerry, Dean and Kerry, Dean and Kerry. Those were the two candidates that ended up running against each other, right? And I was like, wow, okay, now I know for sure. I always had in my mind that voting was not real, that it's complete fake. It's a farce. It's, you know, it's just not real. And when I saw that firsthand, I was like, okay, now I know for sure. So I just completely switched over to focusing on people, on us, you know, and how to help each other eat better, you know, connect better, just to try to get ourselves healing as a community and a society where we can sort of heal from within. Because, yeah, like you were saying when I first got on the call, I think with Barb was talking about, you know, we're voting in these people and expecting them to change things. It's like, I don't think so. It's not going to come from some guy, billionaire, you know, being benevolent and changing everything and making everything fine. So yeah, it's just that, you know, human connection is so powerful. Just like in that movie, The Matrix, and she was talking about that earlier too. You know,
yep.
That's why there's so much energy put into keeping us separate. But so in my little, I've taken a little sabbatical recently. I've been reading lots of books and just sort of doing some introspection and, you know, realizing that personally, I mean, I don't watch the news. I don't listen to a lot of news and stuff. I get stuff off of People for People Radio is what I just feel like whatever I need to know is going to come to me. But I just, for me, I get too, I don't know what happened to me. I think just it's all of us got, you know, harmed generationally. And for some reason, I just feel really sensitive. And so I realize that I really have to kind of back off from listening to too much of that story. They call it the news, you know. I don't know if you guys ever heard my show. I always talk about it as the olds instead of the news, what they talk about on the TV. Because there's nothing new about it. It's all the same old story over and over and over, with some little details changed here and there, a name and a place and this and that. But this whole war story and famine and, you know, there's not enough, the whole lack thing, you know. I just don't find that that's true at all. When I travel around, I look and see people taking care of each other. You know, there's plenty on this earth for all of us.
Oh, yeah. I've driven across Kansas down there where, Patty, you live in Kansas, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Kansas is a big place. It seemed like it took me a day just to drive across Kansas going, I think I was going to California at the time. But man, there is a lot of land out there. There's a lot of
empty
places.
Land.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to grow food. It's never been about the fact that we don't have the food or the land to grow it on. It's the politicians, it's the doggone politics of the policies and all that crazy stuff. That's why, you know, people in the United States can't even get food sometimes.
Yeah, if you look, I mean, there are so many solutions, different solutions, on how communities can come together and prosper and have abundance. There are... Like Barb, she's got up in the mountains. She came together with her family. She created her family, and they created the wherewithal to put the energy out there to get the land. And they have a community. It's a very small community. You don't need to have a very large community. You can have a small community, or you can have a large community. Where it went wrong was way back when the laws began to be put on the taxes, on the businesses, when the regulations started to be put on the mom and pops, when the infrastructure started to be built to bring the water into the rural communities as well as in the cities, and the gas and the electric. All of these things tied the people to the system and to one system. Whereas if those small communities would have been able to provide their own electricity, which they could, their own water, which they could, provide their own foods, which they could, you know, all of these things which they can provide themselves, if they were allowed to, then we would not be in the situation that we are now, and government could not have grown as it has grown now. But because we saw that thing where you flip that switch and that light came on, and we were like, whoa, man, that's easy. That is really easy. And all I got to do is go to one job every day, and I can pay for that little light switch there to flip on. Well, I'm going to do that, because otherwise I got to go and I got to hunt for my meals, and I got to build my own house, and I got to grow my own food, and I got to pot my own water. You know, they made it so seductively easy so that we gave up the true freedom that we had, and the true communities that we had, and the true connections that we shared.
Yep.
And we gave it all up for that light switch, but we didn't realize what it was taking away from us. We thought it was bringing things to us. And it's the same thing that they're doing today. Everything that is out there has an alternative, a way of doing it that brings a community together, that brings abundance instead of famine, you know,
scarcity.
That brings health instead of, scarcity, that brings health instead of illness. We have all of those solutions. We truly, truly do. We truly do. But we've been fed the lie so long, and we like that light switch, you know. That's where we've got to come together and start reaching out to people. Because, Shaziz, you know as well as I do, and as well as Sis knows, and everybody else who is listening here, we talk about solutions. There are so many that it doesn't matter where you are. There's a solution that you can use and implement in your area, in your community, that will bring you abundance, that will bring you health. You know, how do we get there? How do we break free from a system that is so convenient and so seductive? You know, tax man, he's going to come get you if you don't pay your taxes. He's going to take your house.
I say the answer was in your question, or the details of what you just talked about earlier about how the system made it so ridiculously simple for us to, you know, get entrapped in that system. We can make it so ridiculously simple to get free energy, for that matter. I mean, come on, folks. The sun shines. It don't cost you to use it once you got that solar panel. The wind blows. And with the stuff that I'm going to be showing people on the Mad Science YouTube channel here pretty soon, as soon as I get that lab finished and I got a place where I can work and show everybody, I'm going to show you a more efficient way to use electricity that's going to blow your doors off. And, you know, this is why I do what I do. Because guys like Nikola Tesla back in the day believed that if we could give the world free energy, that there wouldn't be no reason to be fighting over oil anymore. There wouldn't be no reason to be fighting over coal or, you know, resources. That's the crazy thing about this whole thing. He was right. You know, you got to go out and buy a bottled water because you don't trust the water coming down the pipe. That's a shame. You're paying for that water coming down the pipe. It's good enough to bathe in, but it ain't good enough to drink. I hate to tell you this, but that stuff absorbs in through your pores or your skin as well as it would if you drank this stuff. But, you know, and that's not to try to scare you, but there are alternatives to, you know, even the filtration of that water before it ever even hits your body, putting it back to where nature had it to begin with. That's the thing. Everybody out there who's up there in the high society thinks that we can improve on nature. We can genetically modify corn so we can make more corn. Do you realize how much corn has actually been buried back up under the ground because the farmer didn't have a market to sell it at? Or because the government paid them not to put it on the market because of the pricing? Do you realize how much food has been wasted due to government manipulation of how much you can sell it for or what the fertilizer is going to cost this year? You can't even truly own a piece of land anymore with the government not wanting its piece of the pie. I got to pay property taxes. If I don't pay my property taxes, they'll turn around and steal my land from me and sell it to somebody else. I worked hard. I paid for my land. It should be mine. But it's not like that anymore. In reality, it's not my land. It belongs to the world. It belongs to God. It belongs to the people. It belongs to the creatures that roam on this land. But as long as I can, you know, have my little say over this land right here, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to protect the animals on this land. I'm going to protect the people on this land. I'm going to try to use this land to live by example to show other people what you could do if you actually took the time to do it. There's so much. There's so much. This world will take care of you if you take care of it. I said the other day, I was so close, within 5 feet. This little baby deer was actually physically walking towards me as I talked to it and had my hand reached out. I'm a doggone cat. Common cat, house cat, come running up there and scared the doggone deer off. But one of these days, I'm going to reach my hand out and I'm going to pet one of them deer. Mark my words. That's how much I love this world that we are in. That's how much I love nature. That's the heart. Those animals, they know your heart. They know it. They can sense it. And if you can get to that point where you can sense each other as well, we got it made. You look at somebody, you can see they're sad, you start feeling sad. You see somebody with a smile on their face, you can't help it, you start smiling. Think about that. That's a heck of a connection. I often said, I wonder what it would be like to be able to follow the smile from my face to your face to somebody else's face and see how far that smile actually traveled.
That's a really good image there. I love that. That'd be a cool video to make.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. If you could follow that smile around the world, you might be surprised. It's like that song, "It's a Small World After All," right?
Yeah.
They say, somehow or another, they call it 6 degrees of separation. We know everybody by 6 other people. 6 people know these 6 people who know these people over here and so on down the line. It could very well be true. Because I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and I start talking about something. Hey, yeah, I know that. That guy's a friend of my cousin's over here. Like, wow, it is a small world. But if it's so small, why can't we reach across this world and help those folks over there? Well, we're doing it right now. We're doing like Barbara said, when we send this energy out, this positive energy, it's going. There's people feeling it. I believe that with everything I got. If that animal, if that turtle pulled me off the edge, that deer, they used to run from me before they knew me. And if that deer can feel my heart and you can feel my heart, what else could we do? What do you think, Jerry?
If we could get there and make that connection and that spiritual connection, that shows us how closely we are related. It would change everything, I think. It truly would if we could all just make that connection of that realization that we are there is no difference when it comes down. You can look at the tree and you can see that it's a tree, but when it comes down to it, there's no difference between that tree and you. You are the same energy. You are the same source. What happens to that tree happens to you. What happens to you happens to that tree. It's the same way with everything in nature. Everything that is living, they share the same. Life is death, and death is life, and that's the connection that we share. There's nothing greater than that. The energy of creation, it's in everything, and if we can get to that basic and come at each other from that knowledge, base, and this is just me, my opinion, if we can come realizing that it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter how you pray, it doesn't matter where you live, what size house you live in, or if you even don't have, it doesn't matter. None of that matters because we are exactly the same. There is no difference between us. The only thing is that we have different stories. We've had different adventures. We've been able to witness different magic, in our lifetime. That's the treasure that we have, and maybe if we could just come from that perspective, if we could see life as if it were ourselves,
If folks it's could like, just feel it one time, Patty, Barbara knows, and I'm positive Jerry knows because I've listened to her. She's got a wonderful heart. If they could just feel what we feel once, just one time, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
I got a really good story about that. We had this alcoholic, this really bad alcoholic, or I shouldn't say really bad, but he was a really bad alcoholic living across the street from us for a couple years. And, I would get really pissed off, and my husband's like, well, we need to pray for him. And he kept reminding me that, it's like I would think about that. Like, I know when I grew up, I had two biological grandmothers who actually prayed for me. One of them was totally not religious at all. The other one was very Catholic. So they're both on different wavelengths as far as spirituality. But this real spiritual, the real spiritual of those two women in my life, I still feel it today. And I always think about that, and I put that out. I share those prayers from my grandmothers who totally loved me and thought good things about me. They saw that our family was having a really hard time. My mom died real young. We were left at home with my dad. It was pretty crazy. And, it was back in the 60s, well, 70s, I guess, which was really bad in the Bay Area. Lots of drugs and stuff and stupidity. But I think I'm still alive today because of the prayers from my grandmothers. And I really believe in prayer. I know it works. And so that's when I hear about stuff going on, I try to, as soon as possible, get out of my own space and start praying for other people. Because so that guy across the street, it ended up where my husband had to drag him into a car and bring him to a doctor's down the street because he was so sick. He was just so drunk. He was poisoning himself. And it made me realize, this guy, his grandmother probably never prayed for him. Maybe he never had anybody pray for him. Pray for that something really good would happen for him, or that he can get out of this construct, this mind construct that makes him think that he needs to destroy himself with that alcohol like that. So if we can remind each other about, the power of prayer, because, we're not going to beat him. We're not going to beat this thing with weapons. I have my dad's old guns. They're hunting guns. I've never fired a gun before in my life. I hope I never have to. I hope I never do, myself. The only thing, the only way that we're gonna get through this is with love.
Yep.
It's really the only, and prayer. We do go out and do kind acts and stuff. Like, I give free acupuncture treatments to people, and if they don't have money, I just tell them, keep coming back, Give me a couple bucks for the needles or something, whatever you want to do. But that's what I can give out, and that's what I do. So we all have things that we can give to the field, because it's basically it's a field of awareness where we've been taught that our actions don't count, that our prosperity is not in our control, that we can't make a difference in the world, that we have to just accept what's going on. And the power of our intentions and our goodness in putting out, like first, like we were saying in the chat room earlier, we have to do it for ourselves. Like we have to take care of ourselves and love ourselves and realize that we are divine beings. You know, I had a, when my son was in preschool, his preschool teacher told me, she would tell the parents, I want to hear you talking to him like he's Jesus Christ. And I was like, shocked. Like, how can anybody say that? It was so beautiful because I kept thinking and thinking about it that, yeah, we should be all talking to ourselves like we're these spiritual masters, because we are. We have this depth to us that's so beautiful and so kind and so amazing. And then to put that out there to other people in any way that we can, even if it's a smile, even if it's, you know, I love Red's stories. He's on the metro a lot over where he in Glasgow, and he tells me every once in a while little stories about how he talks to people on the trains, and it's just so great. Like he makes people laugh, and that kind of thing is just priceless. Really,
yes,
we can spread it through that kind of thing, and that's love. You know, when we can make people laugh,
that's
and
true.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I definitely have spoken about that. I believe in the prayer and the power of prayer and miracles. I think there's so many stories of miracles throughout time, history, about prayers, people coming together and praying. Because I guess it's what it's about, again, I'm going to have to say, is it's the frequency of the love in your heart. When you have compassion, that's a very nice high frequency. It's a higher frequency. Rather than sending out hate towards someone or revenge towards someone, which is a lower frequency, which feeds the dark, actually keeps things in disharmony, prayers from your heart is a high frequency, and it can change the frequency of a person. The same way we talk to our bodies. If we talk to our bodies in a nasty, unkind way, or you talk to a child in a nasty, unkind way, of course, those words are powerful. They are damaging. They can kill a child's spirit, literally kill a child's spirit. So, and I do believe in prayers, and I pray for those that people hate. I'm not going to mention anyone in particular right now, but there's a lot of hatred going on out there, a lot of anger, hatred, revenge, violence. I pray for those people. Because they need help. I pray in a way.
You're the one who do need it, huh?
I ask Creator, yeah, I ask the Great Spirit to intervene, because that's who I believe has the power, or even the ancestors, the great ones, the old ones, ask them to intervene, to plant the seed of healing in that person's mind, and even awaken their spirit. Because I think we all have that inside of us. Some have been removed from their sphere, from that light within them. And who knows all what else happened to them. But I pray for people who are on the hate list of many. And because I'm asking Creator, Great Spirit, to shift the darkness so that they stop the behavior that is harmful. It's not going to be helpful to spew out hate on those people. They need an intervention from someone far greater than me. And I just say, well, that's my prayer then. That's what I can do, you know. And yes, our words are powerful. And when you pray, and when everyone's standing around holding hands around a loved one who is suffering or perhaps, you know, very gravely ill, everyone has the love, that high frequency of love. And, you know, who are they talking to? They're talking to some omniscient, some great spirit. You could say they're talking to their God. And they're asking and pleading and praying and even crying out of love that is in their heart. That's a high vibration, that wonderful compassion and love. That changes the vibration of that person they're standing around. You know, we know more and more now about how people are using frequencies. Hands-on healing is an ancient tool. It's nothing new. People call it Reiki today. But it's nothing new. It's a very ancient wisdom. Because it's all about vibration and frequencies. It's all about the body and the frequency of the body, the disease that happens to the body. There's such a thing as the aura. We know about the aura, the auric field, and how that can be penetrated by a sickness, by an illness. Body, mind, spirit is all involved here. So we have, I guess what you and I are talking about is the power that we have to heal, not only ourselves, but others through miracles. And that's why we have what we call the Nibi Wabo, is a water ceremony in our very ancient women's tradition that have been revived after 200 years. And because women were the keepers of the waters, and they had these ceremonies, as many ceremonies in the Indian way, because they had the wisdom and the knowledge about frequency, about energies, about the power of prayer, and the words from your heart of I love you to the waters, or I'm so grateful for the mother's nurturing waters, those words have a frequency and they change the molecular structure of the corrupted water. So we have certain percentage of water in the human body, up to 70-some percentage of water. So when you say to a child, you're stupid, or what's wrong with you, that's a harmful frequency that affects every part of that child through that those words. Are damaging. The same in the opposite. You say, I love you, you're such a sweet little person, I love you. You know, and those prayers from your relatives, yeah, I'm right there with you on that. I think our relatives, our grandmas, grandpas, and whomever, that are no longer here on this earth, they're still over there on the other side. They're still praying for us. They're watching over us. I think they have high hope and great hope for us, their children here left. What are we doing? I know they're rooting for us. I do believe the ancestors are over there dancing, too. They're still dancing. So, yeah, I think we have a power, an unknown power, more than we could ever imagine. Yeah.
Well, in the Book of Faith that I subscribe to, Jesus told his disciples, all these things that I do, you can do, and you'll do greater things. He also said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that you could speak to the mountain and you could tell it to move and it would move. So I honestly believe that there's a whole lot more in the words that he spoke than we realize. And I take words literally, because words can be powerful. Words are powerful. You could take one single word, it don't matter what word that you speak, and you could change the tone of that word. And it would mean something completely different to somebody else.
You know, I just want to add to what you said about talking or treating your child like they were Jesus. So if those people who believe in this book, this holy book, read that we were made in the image of God, or that those words... Think of yourself that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
God said, "What you do unto the least of me, you do unto me."
Well, you think of others the same way. You know, think of yourself first off like that. How would you treat yourself if you knew that you were a divine child, a sacred child, unconditionally loved by Creator, Great Spirit? Well, how would you live your life if you knew how sacred you were and how beautiful and significant you were? Even just in your own ancestors' eyes, you know.
Yep.
I'm just saying, so we have to kind of rethink what we're doing here and how we are impacting in a positive way or not by the way we think about ourselves, others, the way we speak, our emotions. All of these are frequencies. And over again, we are learning more and more that this is that timeline of enlightenment, this time of the shift into the paradigm of becoming awakened, which doesn't mean wake up by the clock. It means internal awakening. It means that spiritual awakening. This is where I feel that we are, and I feel that a lot of this stuff has been taken. We've been indoctrinated to disbelieve what is sacred, disbelieve that there is anything omniscient. But even scientists today have finally said, while looking at all the things in nature, finally come to say, wow, there was some intelligence who created this creation.
Yep.
They're not saying what exactly it was, but okay, I'm fine with that.
I believe we have an inner light. I honestly do. I believe when that light comes on, when you finally get it, you know, that's what a lot of people like to call woke up or whatever. When you finally get it, you no longer feel like you're supposed to be the center of the world. You feel like there's other people in this world. Everyone out there in this world is just as important as you. It's like the 500 pieces of puzzle that I keep talking about all the time. You know, you take one of those pieces out of that puzzle, and you can never get the big picture. And I think that all these gifts that we've been given, some of you can sing like an angel. Now's a good time to stand up and do that. Some of you can cook like, I can't imagine, just wonderful cooks. Every single one of you has a talent and a skill, and the system knows that. And the system utilizes that in order to fill the pockets of the bankers. Imagine what would happen if you took those skills and you did what you could do to make this world better. Imagine what would happen if you came together in your communities and you put all your skills together. All those pieces of the puzzle come together in that little village or that little township or that little city or whatever. And you bring all these people together and you pull your resources and you make things happen. You uplift your community. You give your friends out there, you give that homeless guy a job and some pride in himself again. You take those words and you tell him how important he is. That without that one gear in the machine, which is him, or that one piece of the puzzle, which is him or her, that whole picture can't be complete. We can't be a great community when you're feeling like this, my friend. We got to bring you back into the picture. We got to help you. We got to see that you can at least have a chance. And you give somebody that kind of hope, and you follow through. Man, when I look at that picture, some folks out there, they don't believe in angels. Now I'm looking at two of them in this picture. I'm looking at two angels. That little child right there that was in such disrepair. That wonderful lady who took the time to take that little child under her arms, and you see this picture difference. 1 year later, you see the difference. There, every time I see this picture, it just puts so much incredible love in my heart. If that's not two angels, then angels can't exist. Because what I'm seeing right there is a true miracle. I'm seeing that's what our Creator wanted for us. Was what you see in that picture right there. And we are our brother's keepers. We are caretakers of not just the land that we stand on, but the animals and one another. And the capabilities that we have, the things that we could accomplish if we ever realize that true divinity of what we are, what we were created to be. Maybe our Creator needed companionship. Maybe our Creator created us in His or her image, however you feel like it came to be. But you are a walking miracle. You're incredible. You have a electrical chemical system that goes on, 3/4 water. That water in itself is so much energy you can't even possibly imagine. Just the science of what this body is and what it's capable of. And that's not even counting the spirit that drives this machine. That's not even counting the brain that keeps all these memories. Or the heart that's able to hold more love than that body, than the mass of that body. That aura that everybody keeps seeing around the body. That's that energy from that heart right there. And you can tell when that energy in that heart's getting weak. You can tell when the darkness is setting in, because when you look at that aura, and that aura's not looking as healthy or bright as it was before, that inner light's not shining, then something's wrong. And that's when it's time for you to shine your light and to bring that energy back up in that person's heart. I know we have this power. I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. I've seen myself so depleted, and all it took was a beautiful little picture such as the one Patty's got on there. that little picture she's got. I wish all of you could see that picture. If there's a way you can copy that picture, Patty, and send it. It's in the chat room. It's over there, people for people. Look at that picture that Patty's got there. That thing right there is enough to warm my heart up again. The words coming out of Barbara's mouth. And now this awesome lady, Jerry, that joined the Knights of the Round Table and all the stories that she told about how she treats people in Mexico. That re-energizes my heart. So I know it's possible. I've witnessed it right here on the Knights of the Round Table. By God, I hope you did too. Somebody take the wheel.
Well, I got to say, the reason why I have that picture is because that's the way it makes me feel. Specifically, every day that I open up and I see that, I smile, and it really just makes my heart just dance. It's joy, you know. And that's another thing that we need a lot more of in our lives is joy, the ability to feel joy, the ability to connect with joy. You know, we live a life now that is so chaotic, and it's not necessarily us. I mean, we can be in the right place, in the right mind, in the right self, in the right spirit, but there's still chaos consistently all around us. We see it in our families, you know. We do see it in our communities, some to more degree than others. I do think that the larger cities experience a heck of a lot more than what I could ever think of experiencing here in Kansas. So it's like me trying to measure the difference between apples and oranges, you know. But I can say the more that we find reasons to not be sad, to not suffer, you know, in depression and things like this, the more times that we can find joy to replace that, you know. It's like Mark, he had a stroke, and so he has these anxiety issues. And it used to be Mark was so funny, you know. He laughed all the time. He's a big guy. And everything, he enjoyed life. And it was wonderful. He made me laugh. And then he's had this stroke. And he's lost his joy. And I think of all, that's what I miss the most, is that smile on his face. That laughter, you know, the twinkle in his eyes, the prankster, you know, the joker. And he's become quiet, you know, he's distant. And it's not his fault. Like I said, he's had this stroke, there's some neurological issues. But it's that lack of joy that takes us to those darker places. Those places that will, you know, slowly eat at us and take us down little bit by little bit by little bit until finally we're at a place to where we can't even see the light, you know. I think that joy is so important, to make somebody laugh, to make somebody feel, you know, just joy. For one day, for one minute at least, to let them know that, hey, you can still have joy. That will get us a lot further in our communities and stuff. You know, the elderly are suffering. There's a lot of elders. Remember our elders, at least when I was younger, our elders, man, they were there. Wherever you were, they were there, and they were partying right along with you, dancing and having fun and cutting up and just having, you know, being with family. Now, people get together and there's no elders. The elders are back at the nursing home. You know? It's sad. It's sad. There's no joy. And I think being conscious of that if we can bring joy, that we should bring joy. You know? I didn't want to ramble on, but I just wanted to put that in there. Now I'll be quiet.
Anytime you're speaking from the heart, you can ramble all day long. I'm loving listening to you, lady.
Yeah, rambling about joy is really important. Go for it. It's really, part of the reason why I've taken my sabbatical here from the People for People radio is I've had like 5 major issues in my life, like huge things come down on me and like really big things. And man, I have had it's been very interesting because I have to work. I don't, really have a net underneath me, so I have to keep working and stuff. And but I've had to pull myself through this really difficult time and let go of some people in my life and just keep praying for them, just keep them in the love prayer field and realize that there's nothing I can do for them. And it's very sad because it's involving children. So it's been a time of really some very deep, going into this stuff that I didn't even know was there. And so one of the things I do when I get into those places is to start reading, spiritual books. I don't care where it comes from. I love just reading and listening to wise people who've been in cultures that kind of know how to deal with stuff like this. So I was reading this book that is a Chinese from an old he's like a Taoist from China. And this woman, she was a patient of mine 20 years ago when I first started doing acupuncture, and she had cancer. And she had gone down to see him. We live in way Northern California, and so she went down to LA to see this guy a bunch of times. And when I moved to the area, she started seeing me, and she still got her herbs from him. And so he told her that I could call him and talk about her case with him. And so I did. I called him like 3 or 4 times, and each time I got off the phone with him, I was like, I hung the phone up, and I felt like, oh my God, I just talked to an angel. I mean, this guy was just, his energy came through his voice, and he just, it was imbued this beauty and this sacredness of and simplicity above everything. I think the simplicity was something that really touched me, and it's something that I've had a hard time in my life just because of all the different traumas and stuff. But I'm just so grateful to myself and to my parents and to other people who've helped me along the way that I have this strength in me somehow to turn to certain things that are going to help me get through this stuff. So this time, I just could not get on the radio. This is the first time I've been on the radio with you guys for probably, I don't know, it seems like it's been a couple months now. But so one of the things I just read last night was he was talking about these different steps to take to getting yourself back to, a simple and a pure place with yourself. And he talks about having single-mindedness. So instead of like thinking about all these problems or all these things, because for me it was like I would go from one subject to another and just think about all these horrible, I mean the depth of these things that I've been going through, is one of them would have been way more than enough for me to deal with. But I have 5 things going on. And so his words were to, for one thing, stop jumping around on different subjects and all these things that are wrong. And so I've really been trying to do that in my mind, to just focus on me, on right here. Because there's nothing I can do about these other people right here, except for pray and to take care of myself and to put that out there. Like, I feel my grandmother's prayers still. That's how I can be for these children that are in my life, in my family, but I can't be around them anymore. I think I pretty much got shunned. And So, but they know who I am, and they totally love me, and they know that I love them, and that I've given them a little seed. And so now from here, my focus has to be on that seed. You know, that my intentions and my care is still happening in this other realm, because it can't be with them physically, or, you know. So this is like a huge gift for me, that I can find these words in a book or in, you know, on these shows here. You know, I just love talking with you guys this evening. It's really helping me to kind of come back to in this way. So,
well, we are so glad to have you here.
Well, I'm glad you're here with us, Jerry, and sharing these things. And I know sometimes we have to take a break, and like I say, feed our soul, you know, kind of figure things out and get some clarity. Because I know, I think every one of us here, we want to do everything we can for those that we love and for those who are suffering. And that's a good thing. But there's also times when we realize, you know, I've come to that myself, that I have to realize, okay, as much as I'd like to help or change something in whatever's going on, my hands are tied. I'm unable to do that. And I also had to come to the realization that everyone is on their own spiritual journey here. You know, we're all here in this big school, and we're all on our journey together, but also, you know, individually. And I can't walk in somebody else's shoes. Like they say, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. But I realized, you know, like you have said, I've realized this too, what I can do is plant the seed. You know, I plant the seed by being, you know, a kind person or a loving person, or maybe a few words, you know, but you can't keep screaming at people. You can't keep, you know, getting yourself out of your center, I guess I'm going to say, because we need you in your center. I need to be in my center. I need to be in my heart. That's where I'm most effective. I'm not effective if I'm upset and aggravated or frustrated, or, you know, that's not helpful to the greater whole. And the seed that we plant, I've talked about seed planting for many, many years. You know, when you go to the garden, you take the seed in your hand and you care for that seed if you're conscious in relationship to growing things, you know, and the nurturing things. So you take the seed with hope, a great hope, and you put that seed into the earth. You know, you prepare it lovingly and you make the hollow. You put the seed in, you put whatever it is, you water it, you know, and you pat the ground. And, you know, you walk away. You know, you don't stand over the seed screaming, come on, grow, I need you to grow, hurry up, hurry up. No, you walk away, but the seed is that you planted doesn't leave your mind. You're conscious of the seeds in your garden that you've planted. You're always thinking of them. You visit them every day. You go back, you look, you straighten out the ground, you maybe give a little more water. You look up and you see the sun is shining, that's good. So they are in your mind. They are ever present, but we can't force these seeds to grow. They will grow in their own time according to their nature, their own nature. That's how I feel about the people we love, you know, that we can't take them to the water and force them to drink. We are extraordinary seed planters, you know, and we have to let the seeds, creator's involved in the seed's growth. The mother's involved in the seed's growth and blooming into what it needs to be. You know, so it's sort of like we have to let go, I suppose, and know that we are doing something through our prayers and the love that we have. That's the powerful seed planting, I think.
Speaking of planting seeds, I'm a manly man. I just want y'all to know that I'm a manly man. But at the end of this show, I'm going to play that Bette Midler song, "A Rose," because if you listen to the lyrics of that song, and it talks about, you know, the bitter snow outside, it, you know, it's almost like everything we've talked about today, the harshness of that and how that seed grows up to be something really beautiful. That song, it speaks volume about what you two ladies just talked about. It's an amazing song. I don't know if you like it or not, but I hope everybody sticks around and at least listens closely to those lyrics, because the words are powerful in there. It's amazing. it's amazing to me how something like that can really mimic reality, the world that we live in. It's a harsh world. It's a harsh world out there.
Well, we do need to nurture ourselves, and I just wanted to reiterate that too, you know, Jerry, that it's no, you don't have to apologize. I don't know if you were, but for not being around, I get that.
Oh no. No, I'm not apologizing. I feel I know it's good. I need to do that. And I also have to model, because I'm always telling people, well, just don't do it, you know, if you don't want to do it. You know, so I'm pretty good at taking myself out of situations and I'm probably too good at it sometimes.
Well, I suppose it's like people sometimes feel they failed, you know. That's a piece that I've heard people say, well, if I can't save these people, if I can't wake these people up, then I'm a failure, you know, and that's not true. It is so not true, really.
I wanted to make a comment about the manly man conversation. I love that. My dad, I just love my dad. He was cool. We had a lot of women in our family. I feel like I don't have any family now, but when I was little, we had like huge, lots of people around. But it was mostly women. And so they had this, we would go camping every year. And we'd have a family camping trip. It was so much fun. We just had a really great time. But my dad started this manly man club. And women couldn't come, although my niece, who was the coolest of all of us, and she was an honorary member, she could come to their meetings. But they'd just sit around and look at rocks and, you know, go throw things or go fishing and stuff. So that was the manly man club, and we still have it. My son and my husband and his little boy, 2 years old. Now they're the Georgia. My son lives in Georgia, and so they're the Georgia chapter of the Manly Man Club.
Cool, that's awesome. Ask him if I can join.
Yeah, I know. You would totally fit right in there. You could totally fit there. Yeah, I could see it.
The Great Outdoors with the Manly Man Club.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I love it. But no, I got to play that song at the end of this show, because that song, I'll tell you what, manly man or not, if you listen to those lyrics and you got any kind of heart at all, those lyrics will speak to you. It's a really good song. And the lady's got an awesome voice, too.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's Bette Midler.
Yeah, Bette Midler.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
But anyway...
Yay.
I tell you what, it's getting close to that time there, and I don't know whether we have any extra time after, as I got to be careful not to run over, but I do want to play that song. But folks, I think, you know, doing this show on Fridays been pretty beneficial. You know, I think I kind of needed this. You know, I like doing it on Sundays. Still going to be doing the show on Sundays. The Knights of the Roundtable will be same time, same channel. It'll be early in the morning. So if you're up early in the morning, you'll get to hear it. And I think we're going to try this for as long as we can. If this thing's working out well family-wise, I got to keep my wife happy, you know. I got to keep my family happy. We say we're going to give it about a month or so to see how... It works, you know, blends in with the family, everything. But the Knights of the Round Table on Friday night is, I think it's going to work. And I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying the conversation we've had today. It started off a harsh conversation. You know, big problems require big solutions. I honestly believe we got the solutions. Seriously. But, you know... Few tears later, and some talking about things, and a lot of hope brought to the table. That's what I always say about this show. It amazes me, because this show always seems to take on a life of its own. Everyone sitting at this table has been down a road. We've all been down hard roads. Even the people in the chat room have been down hard roads. But for us to stick together as long as we have... You think about how many shows the Knights of the Roundtable's actually done. When I first started the Knights of the Roundtable years and years ago, I didn't know how people would receive it. I didn't know whether they'd like the show or whether, you know, they'd just up and go away. But over these years, we're still going. After all these years, we've seen networks come, we've seen networks go. Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio, we've weathered the storm, and we're still here, and we're actually making strides to make it even better yet. Get more people in the chat rooms and visiting with us and then joining on the Knights of the Round Table. So, hey, a few extra hours a week ain't going to hurt my feelings none, because I love this. Every time I do this, I feel so honored, so humbled, so blessed. My heart just keeps on filling up with more hope and love. And I don't know how much love a heart can actually hold, but so far it's been a good thing, because I can keep on spreading that love around, and that's a good thing. I think that all these people that show up, I think that this is not just therapeutical for myself, but each of us, because of the lives that we have to lead and the things that we have to contend with. There's folks out there in the world that really need our help. They really need to hear what we had to say. These podcasts are going to be forever immortalized in digital cyberspace. I put them out there. I keep a copy of them for just such an emergency. But if you find some of these podcasts that you like, share them. Share the links to them. If you find somebody who's feeling bummed out and wants to think we can, thinks that we can't fix it or whatever, bring them to the table. Let them talk to Patty. Let them talk to Barbara or Jerry. Let them talk to some folks in that chat room. That's what makes the difference. We've heard some amazing things. This world, we got big problems, but I honestly believe that we have the solutions. We got big solutions as well. We got to get that message out there to the world. And this is the only way I know how to do it. I mean, if I had a bullhorn big enough and I could get on top of the mountain and shout it across the planet, hey, sit down and pay attention. School's in session or something. I'll teach them everything I know about mad science. I'll share as much love as I can with them. And hopefully that will be that seed that Barbara and Jerry talked about. And we did, like I said, we may not live long enough to enjoy the fruits of our labor, but our children will, and their children will. That's why I wrote that thing that my friend Ken so eloquently read out about the dream, and I'm going to play it also at the end of this show, because it's what I really believe. It comes straight from the heart. So with that said, it's time to go around the table before, because I'm sure you ladies got something wonderful to say. So which one you ladies want to go first? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once.
I'll go in.
Wouldn't want to chip.
I'll step in. Oh, sis, did you
want to
go?
No, go ahead, sis.
All right. Well, this was really awesome to be here again with you, and it's wonderful to have Jerry come in. Always love to hear all about you, Jerry, and your beautiful ideas and insights. It's really good. I'm just thinking about how awesome this time is that we're living here. I've always said that after we get done with all the stuff, talking about the rough stuff, because there's rough stuff out there. And I call it rough, because it's rough. But it's not hopeless, that's for sure. I don't believe that at all. I think if I thought that it was hopeless, I would have already jumped off the cliff, folks. I have to tell you that. So that I'm here because I know in my whole being that it is not hopeless and that we are not helpless. And that's why I always join in on the show here, because you all I know feel the same. And I do feel strongly that we have solutions right at our fingertips. Just being here and talking to everyone and seeing the people in the chat and participating with us gives me great hope, that's for sure. So I want to thank everybody for being here with us on this new night's show on Friday. And thank you all for being here, and blessings to everyone. Keep your light shining, because I know I need that light shining from you guys for sure. And I'll shine my light for you too. So, Doksha, Pilamaya.
wonderfully said. Which other one of you ladies is going to go next?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, that's why I love the show so much, is, you know, because the people who are on the night's round table, I love them, and they're so brilliant. You know, sis, I want to thank you so much, and Jerry, thank you so much. I have to say that I get so much more out of the show. And you'd think after all this time that we'd said everything that needed to be said. Every time, it seems like there's a new story, there's a new experience, there's a new way of looking at things. And I thank you for that and for the chat room. You guys are awesome. It's been a great show, and I'm looking forward to Sunday, too. I think Friday works for me, she says. I don't know. Love you.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, you got the best of both worlds. You got Friday and Sunday. And if you got for science, and Saturday's a good one. Oh, man, I tell you, we're just so blessed. Anyway, so what about you, Jerry? It's been wonderful having you on this today's show. It's the very first Friday Night to the Round Table ever.
Yay. Well, I'm really glad to have heard the call and hopped onto the call. Thank you so much for inviting me here. This, like I said, I haven't been on the radio for at least a good month, or maybe 6 weeks. I can't remember, but it's nice to be back on with you. I won't be back on doing my show. I do the Nourishing Peace show on Sunday. Let's see, I think it's 1 p.m. Pacific time. So I won't be back on until the 26th, which is not this weekend, but next weekend. So it's kind of nice to get my feet wet again here. And really nice to be chatting with you all. I feel it's just been very helpful for me to be with you this evening. So thanks so much. Well, have a good night, you guys.
Thank you very much. You brought some really, really good points, some brilliance to the table. Folks, there's a lot of good people in those chat rooms out there. And thank every single one of you folks for doing what you do. If you like today's show, share it with somebody. Share it with whoever you can. If you see somebody feeling down, give them a good old smile. Do something kind to them. That's the way we get this ball rolling. There's a lot of problems in this world that need fixing. And I honestly believe we got the solutions. And if we keep on doing what it is that we're doing, we're going to break through that wall. You know, that's one thing about how magical water is. If you got one little tiny pinhole, that water's going to work its way through, and before too long, that dam's going to break. And when all this information and love hits that shoreline down there, everyone's going to know it. That's a good thing. So I'm going to get us up out of here and play a song. I hope you stick around and listen really close to the lyrics, because it's just amazing how in a song, you know, you can say so much. Your words are really powerful. So take care when you use those words. Make sure you treat people right, because that's what's going to make this world better. I honestly believe we're on the right track here. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. And hopefully you'll join us on Sunday as well. Maybe we'll have another good show. What do you think, ladies? Well, they all left me.
Well, I just want to say, while I have you here, I won't be here Sunday. This Sunday, I won't be here. Sorry.
Sunday. And so the Sunday shows for me are way too early. It's 6 o'clock in the morning here, and I'm not really that big of a morning person.
Well, that's all so. Right, because old King Shaziz the Terrible, he's held down the fort a few times, and I'm sure. That's why my friend Gary, we were talking about content for radio shows. I said, brother, we haven't even scratched the surface. It's like Patty said, every time we get a show, you might think you've heard it all, but by God, every time we turn around, these shows take on a life of their own, and they just grow.
And she's absolutely right. It's amazing to me that happens, and I have heard you hold your own there, Shaziz, you know, and that's a beautiful, powerful thing. I'm always happy to join you. I'll be here next Sunday, not this Sunday, though. I love you guys.
Well, it's easy to do when you love what you
I'll be here Sunday.
And when you love what you do, and when you love the people you're doing it for, it's easy to do. So this is a good thing. So everybody, stay tuned and listen to this song. And if you like this song, whenever you hear it, throw a smiley face over there in the chat room so I know you like this song. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take care. Peace and love to everybody.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love,
together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our magic camera, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.